If you'd like to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, we are going through the book of Ephesians. Now, we won't be in that for the whole year, every single week. We've got things, other things to preach and do, but it's going to be the basis and foundation of our preaching for the year. We're going to, this year, try understand what it means to be a people of grace. And that's what we're looking at, the believer's position in the grace of God. And today's message is titled, Salvation, Sealed and Guaranteed. Sealed and Guaranteed. Now, we've been laying the foundation here in chapter 1, and we have seen that God the Father was the planner and originator of salvation, that God the Son has redeemed and forgiven our sins through His blood. And today we're looking at the Holy Spirit's part in our redemption, and that is the fact that we are sealed and guaranteed a place in God's family. Hudson Taylor wrote about the Holy Spirit. He said, "The Holy Spirit enters the heart in His fullness that can boast of nothing but an aching void. Maybe no ecstasy, no rushing mighty wind, no fiery baptism, but nevertheless, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. It's not striving after faith, but resting in the faithful one." Our text for this morning is only two verses here, verses 13 and 14. And it says, "In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." See, these verses bring us to the part where God's plan of redemption is empowered through the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, by sealing us, God has marked us as His own. And through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we know that and we understand that. Now, in the ancient world, when it came to using a seal, it was a form of identification. It was something that was used to authenticate or protect legal documents, or there may be documents that people wanted no one else to read, and they would put their seal upon it. They would use either a wet type of clay, or they would use wax. And it was a uniquely designed stone on a ring or a necklace. And once that was sealed, that was it. It was done. No one could touch it or open it until the person who it was addressed to got hold of it. Now, we are told here that the sealing by the Holy Spirit is an earnest of our inheritance. And that word earnest, a Greek word arabon, means a pledge. So a pledge is a part of a purchase. It's a part of a property given in advance as security for the rest of it. You see, a pledge is in biblical times meant a partial payment that would be completed by the purchaser, who would pay the full amount later on. So this pledge, this earnest of inheritance, was absolutely binding. You know, they had to keep their word. Not like today, many people don't keep their word at all. They tell you they're going to do something and promise to do it, and nine times out of ten they don't. But not with God. God cannot lie. God is the truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's no other way. He's the truth, the life, and what He says we can stand upon. His promises are true and right, and that's what we rest in. Now, His earnest of the Holy Spirit in our lives is the down payment of all that will be ours in the future in Christ. Now, we have the Spirit now, but we'll experience Him even more fully when we are finally in heaven with our Savior. God will keep His promise to us, and He will not go back on His word. You see, God the Father so loved sinners that He gave His only begotten Son The Son so loved sinners that he left the bosom of his Father. And that's always amazed me, that they're leaving the bosom of the Father. It's just too much for my mind to comprehend this side of glory. But he left the bosom of the Father and came to earth, earth's sorrows, I might add, and he laid down his life so that we who deserved hell might have life. There's a third person. That is God the Holy Spirit, who plays a definite part in our redemption. Verse 13, it tells us there, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. You see, without the Holy Spirit, salvation would be impossible. You know, Jesus told his disciples in John 16:7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. You see, Jesus had to return back to heaven, but he said in John 14:26, the Father would send the Comforter. And that Comforter would teach them, the disciples, all things, and he would bring to remembrance what things Jesus had told them. You know, it's a wonderful blessing in a believer's life. You know, as we study the Word of God and as we come under the Word of God, the amount of times in our lives when we need something from God, the Holy Spirit just brings to remembrance immediately a verse or something that's been said to us, and that gives us that peace and the rest that we're looking for. It gives us the wisdom that we need in this world. You see, Jesus had to go back to heaven before the Holy Spirit would come. Now, when he came, John 16:8-10 tells us, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see him no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See, the Holy Spirit came to reprove this world of sin, to reprove it of righteousness and judgment. You see, it's the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin, and for sure no one could be saved without that conviction. That's the truth of it. Unfortunately, once we're saved as believers, it's not hard for us to get into the groove of the Christian life and just do things methodically each day, and we go through our Bible readings, we go through our prayer times, we go to the ministries we have, we come to church, and we're just in the groove. And we're missing out on the power of the Holy Spirit who wants to work in our life. And it's a bit like when you're first starting work, if you're a laborer. I remember my first real job when I was 15 as an apprentice greenkeeper, we had to sand all the seats down and paint them. And I went home after the first couple of days and I had blood red hands just covered in blisters. And every time I hopped in the shower and put soap on my hands, I nearly jumped out of the shower because it was so sore. But after a while of doing that, guess what blisters turn into? They turn into calluses, and you no longer feel the pain. And sin can be like that. If we allow sin to continue in our life, it doesn't hurt like it did at the start. We don't feel as challenged by it. We don't feel as hurt by it. We in fact, we will even put up with it. And it's not just the big sins, it can be the little ones. For me, in our house, we don't have big or little ones. We just sin as sin. And if it's not right before God, then it's just not right. Amen? That's just how it is. But the Holy Spirit came to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And it's by the Word of God that the Holy Spirit brings men to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, sin has affected us so deeply in Romans 3:10 that you and I cannot understand the truth of God unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. He enables us to enjoy our spiritual birthright. He enables us to get a glimpse of heaven with the eye of understanding which is given to us in the inner man. He is a real part of the Godhead. He's not an it. He is all that God is. God the Spirit. You know, when Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born again when he's old? Jesus replied to him, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And this is why the Word of God is so important, because the water is the Word. John 4:10. 14:26-27. 1 Peter 1:23, and in fact Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the message of Christ's redemption, he takes it to the slave market of sinners, he makes known the gospel of salvation, which is the only thing that can set them free from the dominion of sin, and he guides them and helps them through faith in Christ, who shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, to believe, receive, and be saved. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God preached and proclaimed, and he applies it to the heart and conscience of the sinner who's listening. And that's important, because we're living in a day today where if you want to see a lot of sin, go to church. That's true. You'll see people barking like dogs. You'll see people falling all over the place, banging heads, dressing like the world dresses, listening to music like the world listens to. And how grieved the Holy Spirit must be when he enters a church with the desire to apply the Word of God to sinners and to people in the church and believers, and he finds a preacher giving a message about human literature or what man can accomplish in this world, when the preacher's just preaching things that can never be used to save anybody. But people today no longer want the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives, so they become callous to that, and because of that, there's no real power at work in their life. They're happy to be partakers of worldly things, but they start to cringe and pull back from the godly things. You see, it's only through the Word of God the Spirit moves and touches the hearts of unbelievers for salvation and believers for conviction. You know, Romans 10:17 is very simple. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, the Father planned our salvation, the Son provided for our salvation, and the Holy Spirit then applies that salvation to our life. See, 2 Corinthians 4:3 reminds us, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And you know, wonder if the devil could do one thing, it would be to destroy the truth of the Word of God. Once he's done that, there's no power to save. And that's why we have translations today where there's no more any him or her, it's they and them. There's no truth about sin, it's washed over and wiped over. And there's not enough of the Word of God being preached and proclaimed today. See, they'll preach miracles. They'll preach the niceties. They'll preach the dainty little things that warm the hearts and tickle people's fancies. They'll preach a social gospel, but none of that will save anybody. Until we are convicted by the sin in our life, we won't be saved. But once we're saved, the Holy Spirit still convicts us of the sin in our life so that we can bring glory and honor and praise to God. And if we're going to allow the little sins, sooner or later they're going to pile up and you won't even recognize the voice of God through the Word. You won't recognize it in your prayer time. And the Holy Spirit is quenched in a believer's life. You see, unless He opens our eyes, and I'm talking about our spiritual eyes, we will not recognize or understand the simplest of spiritual truths. You see, where is the preaching today of Christ and His shed blood? That He died for our sins, that Christ was crucified, Christ was risen, that Christ is coming again. You know, we need in our lives today a preaching revival that we not say, oh, I wish He hadn't have said that, where we say, amen, I need to get myself right. Because the devil couldn't care less what's being preached in church as long as it's not about Christ and His work of redemption and a believer's responsibility to live for Him. Why do you think Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. That's how He lived His life. Christ lived through Him. How did He do that? By the filling of the Holy Spirit. He knew without a doubt the only thing that's going to stop anyone from hell was Christ being preached, Christ dead, buried, risen, and coming again. And if we're not living that out, something's wrong. We've become callous to sin. You see, it's only the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth that stirs the soul to the innermost depths and sets them free from the darkness of that natural state into the light of a glorious resurrected Savior. And because we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been purchased by Him. You know, when you purchase something, that's yours, isn't it? You know, and sometimes we don't want other people to touch that. That belongs to us. We want it used properly. We want it looked after. We want it kept right. And so does Christ. We're His instruments. And He wants to look after us, keep us right, and take care of us. And we should allow Him to do that. Because we belong to Him. We are His purchased possession. You know, for us who are already born again, this is behind us. We've been saved. So what does being redeemed now mean for us? Now that we have the position of sons, adult sons, born sons of God, adopted sons of God, the privileges we enjoy because of that. You see, the Lord Jesus willing reveals to us His mind and His will for our life. In fact, you know, the Holy Spirit, when He speaks to us, that is the will of God. When He speaks, we're hearing what Christ is wanting us to know. You know, we're told in Scripture we have the mind of Christ through the indwelling of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2. We're told we can understand what the Lord is saying if we're believers. And the Lord's saying at times, don't go there, don't do this, don't be like that. And that's God's will. Are we doing that? And I use the term we, I'm not picking on people. You see, he has sealed us now. He guarantees we are God's very own. I don't think we think about that enough. We're sealed and guaranteed with the Holy Spirit of promise right now. But what about the future redemption? In the future. You see, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of promise. And it's not only because God promised him, but because he is a promise of better things to come. Now, in connection with the sealing of a believer, that the Holy Spirit, we're told here, is the earnest of our inheritance. No, he is that pledge. He's assuring us that someday God will bring us into a full possession of all that he has planned. Now, there are times when we wish, man, I just wish I was out of here now. I just want to rest at the feet of the Lord, and I've had enough of life. But you know, we're to wait on God. And while we wait on God, so that word wait's an action word. So we just don't sit back and put our feet up. We get busy for him. We're to wait, we're to watch, and we're to work. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to understand in our walk with the Lord, that we are here for a purpose. If we didn't have a purpose for us, we'd go straight to heaven when we die. But we don't. We're left here. To reveal the glory of God to this lost and dying world. You see, the redemption of the purchased possession will be accomplished by his power when he returns in glory. Verse 14 tells us there, unto the praise of his glory. See, he's the down payment, so to speak. He's the pledge that someday, very soon, God will bring us into full possession of everything that he has planned. So what does that mean? The purchased possession is our inheritance. And it's called the purchased possession because it has been fully paid for. It's not confusing. Oh, but you just said it's a down payment. Now you're saying it's fully paid for. It's not confusing. It's like when a person buys a house, very few pay the whole amount at once. They put down a deposit on the house, but that house is fully theirs. They're just waiting for the rest of it to be paid off. But first, verse 14 not only speaks of our purchased possession, but also of the redemption of the purchased possession. See, the purchase price was, of course, the blood of our Savior. The redemption of this purchased possession will be accompanied by his power when he returns in glory. And we'll see later on in the year when we get to Ephesians 6 that our inheritance is not only in the heavenlies, but it's also to be lived out in the realm of this earth right now, who the god of this world, Satan, controls. And all his demonic hosts. That's why 6:12 tells us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we use this verse for our teenagers on Friday night, and I said, see, in Sydney now, you're not allowed to pull the old buildings down. You've got to leave the front wall of the buildings, and they build the skyscrapers behind it. So when you're walking through the street, unless you look up, all the buildings are old. They call it a facade. Well, Satan's got a facade over this world, and if we could peel away that facade, we would see the demonic realm that's at work sending souls into hell every tick of the clock. Satan and his forces are at work in this world right now. He is not chained in hell. He is vigorously opposing the truth of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's wreaking havoc in society. He's tearing apart Christian homes. He's destroying marriages. He's pillaging the hearts and minds and souls of people all over the world. And as believers, we have been commanded to stand firm against the devil. How do we do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. As we soak in the Word of God, He applies it to our hearts, and we can live the life of victory in Christ. We can stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the devil's not someone who wants to just come in and break up your home in a day. He wants to get the little thin edge of the wedge in there and saying, oh, my husband didn't speak to me too nice this morning, and there's a little tap on the wedge. The husband goes away and says, oh, what's my wife complaining about? Another tap on the wedge. And he keeps tapping and tapping away. We don't even realize the wedge is there, and bang, it's all gone. That's how he operates. He's smarter than most people. He's clever. He's everywhere. You know, when God gives us a command, like stand firm against the wiles of the devil, He gives the instruments and the ability to do so. And believers need to put on that armor of God and stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stand up and against the devil and not join and give in to the advantages that he wants to take. You know, he has the seat of authority in the heavenlies just above us, but thank God he is going to be cast out of that realm when the day of Christ's power begins. Revelation 12:7 describes that day. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Then we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall remain and caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll have the victory. In that day, our inheritance will be fully redeemed by the power of Christ. We shall then have more than just the earnest of our inheritance, we'll have the lot. We shall enter into the enjoyment of a full purchase. Now, has the Holy Spirit quickened, sealed, and given himself as an earnest because of any good that he sees in me or you? No. But for the same reason that caused God the Father to act unto the praise of his glory. See, we've been purchased by the blood of Christ. And that continues right through eternity that's awaiting us. You see, the gracious work of redemption was provided from the eternity behind to the eternity before us. Now, just a couple of things and we'll finish off. In the past eternity, the Father planned and provided our redemption. The Son, having entered into a solemn covenant with the Father, purchased that redemption at the price of his own blood. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and he applied all these wonderful truths to the hearts and consciences of men through the preaching and proclamation of the Word of God. And when people believe, And salvation is for whosoever will. When people believe, the Spirit quickens them, seals them, marks them, signifying you are now God's property. And in the future, the Holy Spirit will claim us along with the Father and the Son, because He, as the Holy Spirit, is co-equal with them in every way in the redemption of our souls. And you know what all this shows us? The exceeding riches of God's grace. And you know, as I was going through this, doesn't this just make us want to, you know, desire to fully surrender our lives completely into God's hands? To be used by Him as He wills, in His ways, and for His glories. We don't want to hold back, do we? Not at all. Not at all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the wonderful gift You gave us. Through the shed blood of our Savior, the salvation we have. We thank You, Lord, that You never left us alone to battle in our own strength. But sent the Spirit, Your Spirit, to live within us, to teach us, to guide us, to encourage us, to challenge and also convict us, Lord. And those challenges and those convictions are a real blessing to our lives. Because if we didn't have them, I'm afraid we might just have a half-hearted walk with You. And we thank You for the wonderful gift of Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Spirit of God, for the work You do in our lives. And may we never grieve You, never quench You. But if we do, remember that it is but to call on our Savior. And if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, help us to walk in the victory You have secured for us, knowing full well that You have purchased us and we are Yours and we always will be. Help us to recognize, Lord, the lost family members we may have, the friends we come across who are not saved, all need the gospel. And help us, Lord, to live it out, to speak it out, and to show this lost and dying world the difference You make in a person's life. Father, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for Your grace at work in our lives. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.